Now, a growing amount of research suggests that where we live plays a role in our risk for a variety of health problems. The environment, economic conditions, and access to health care are some of the factors that can make some areas healthier overall than others. A new center at UW-Madison plans to look deeper into that issue. Launched this month, the Center for Health Disparities Research will study which parts of Wisconsin and the nation have the worst health outcomes and why that might be. Dr. Amy Kind is a professor of medicine in the UW School of Medicine and Public Health and director of the Center for Health Disparities Research. Dr. Kind, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Can you start us off by telling us about the inspiration for the center and how it got started?
Yeah, absolutely. As you know, the UW is deeply committed to advancing research towards the elimination of health disparities. But to do this, we really need to understand why disparities happen. We need to get at the roots of their mechanisms. And this kind of mechanistic-focused health disparities research, it links cells to communities and neurons to neighborhoods, but it really opens the door for new therapies, precision medicine approaches, and interventions. It helps us understand not only why disparities happen, but how we might mitigate them, how we might make them better. And it really is research targeted to action. So this center helps us move forward in entirely new ways, in a way that's very action oriented. And we're so thrilled to have this opportunity and to be leading the charge here at the UW.
Sometimes we see statistics about the health of the whole country or a whole state or city or county or whatever. You are zooming in even further. You've got this thing that's going to be a big part of the center called the Neighborhood Atlas. Can you talk about the value of zooming into a community, to a neighborhood level?
Yes, absolutely. So first of all, let me say the Neighborhood Atlas is a tool that's freely available to anyone. Everyone in your listening public can take a look at neighborhoodatlas.medicine.wisc.edu. And it's a tool that works a lot like the maps on your smartphone. You can click on the mapping app and take a look at these heat maps that give very detailed understanding for where highly disadvantaged neighborhoods exist across the entire United States. But as you zoom in, if we were to zoom into a county like Milwaukee County, for instance, and if we were to measure the disadvantage of Milwaukee County, we would see that Milwaukee County as a whole is one of the most disadvantaged or challenged counties within the state. However, if we go to a very precise level of geography, something called the census block group, which is about 1,500 people, and it's very population representative. So within Milwaukee City, it can be very, very discrete, tiny little geographic areas. When we do that and we measure these social determinants of health at those very, very tiny geographic areas, what we find is that within Milwaukee County, the most disadvantaged, challenged neighborhoods are concentrated within inner city Milwaukee. And the rings of that county, the rings around the inner city core, are made up of some of the richest neighborhoods within the state. And without that additional level of precision, we cannot be as certain about our measures. And it requires this level of very precise measurement to be able to look at how these types of exposures might interact with our very genetics to change the way our body processes blood sugar, for instance, or our risk for developing cancers. We know that individuals who live in these highly disadvantaged neighborhoods, when it's measured very precisely, we can see changes in how their genes behave, changes in their risk for health outcomes, and changes for their ability to access resources. So it is a way that not only anyone can take a look at these metrics through the Neighborhood Atlas, but any researcher can take a look at this as well. And to date, on this Neighborhood Atlas platform, we're nearing 500,000 views, which is very exciting. We've had groups around the country leverage these metrics for everything from community outreach efforts, reading outreach efforts, to health policy levels at the federal level. We've even had a few states recently that have used the metrics for COVID vaccine allocation. So it's very, very exciting. And our center is designed to build the capacity of our institution to continue to grow this field.
Talking to Dr. Amy Kind, director of the new Center for Health Disparities Research at UW-Madison. Dr. Kind, you're connecting a lot of dots here. Can you give us a couple of examples of the ways the nature of a local neighborhood can lead to bad health outcomes down the road?
Yeah, absolutely. So we know where someone lives can directly influence their ability to interact in healthy behaviors. So let's just take the concept of healthy eating for a moment. If you live in a highly disadvantaged neighborhood, that very well may be a neighborhood that is something called a food desert, in which you can't easily access fresh fruits and vegetables in an affordable way. And so because of that, it is a lot harder to be able to eat healthy. Additionally, in these very same neighborhoods, you have a higher chance of being exposed to higher levels of air pollution or toxins in the water. Look at Flint, Michigan, as an example. Also, stress levels can be markedly higher. So, thinking about personal safety risks or just the inability to be able to access green space within some of these areas. And what's really, really, really unfortunate and is something that our country desperately needs to address is that these areas that are noted as most disadvantaged on the tools that we use also are often echoes or persistent patterns that reflect systematic racism and systematic inequities that have permeated our society for generations. One of these examples is the construct of redlining, in which federal institutions or financial institutions, I should say, limited the ability of certain populations to access the ability to get home loans and other financial opportunity. And this was often done in a map-based format in which certain areas were outlined in red, and those areas were not given access to the same kinds of financial resources. So people couldn't get mortgages to fix up their houses or couldn't get loans to start businesses. And disproportionately, these redlined areas were areas that were predominantly African American or other racial minorities. And to this day, in some urban areas in particular, we see the echoes of these policies come through in the metrics that we see. So the types of things that we study and the impact of these kinds of social forces and environmental forces, we can link these things to very discrete changes within cells, very discrete changes within even brain architecture. We have a study right now in which we're looking at the exposure that someone may have had to disadvantaged neighborhoods across their entire life course, from birth till now, or even until their death, if they've donated their brains to science to help us find cures for Alzheimer's disease. And we look at how this different dosage and timing of exposure is associated with differences in brain architecture and changes in brain structure. And what we find is that living in a highly disadvantaged context, you're in the studies so far, that is strongly associated with more rapid brain degeneration, with more rapid loss of cognitive function in some individuals, and with a higher burden of amyloid plaques and tangles, which are the fundamental changes of Alzheimer's disease. Now, Alzheimer's disease is something that we do not yet have a cure for. But if we can unpack these mechanisms, can really start understanding why living in such contexts are leading to these biological changes, that may open the door for new therapies. It may open the door for new cures, and it may completely open the opportunities for new targeted precision medicine approaches to the individuals who really need them the most.
Very briefly, in just our last half minute, are you also hoping that you can find, I guess, social interventions in communities and then be able to measure how well they work?
Absolutely, absolutely. Not only could we lead to precision medicine, but inform social policy in order to more efficiently and effectively match resources to need. It's something that is at the cutting edge of health disparities research at our nation. The NIH is very interested in funding these, so we're absolutely thrilled that we've been able to move forward. And just recently, our latest funding success, we just received a 5-year, $28.5 million NIH grant to allow this to move forward. And University of Wisconsin is at the lead. So we're thrilled.
Dr. Kind, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me, Rob.
That's Dr. Amy Kind, professor of medicine at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, director of the new center we've been talking about, the Center for Health Disparities Research, launched this year. She talked with us about the issues she and her team are researching here in Wisconsin and beyond.